Welcome to the Real Estate Pros Podcast, the weekly show for real people in the business of residential sales and property management. Ready to talk insights and inspiration with today's guest, here's your host, Josh Cobb.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Real Estate Pros. Thank you so much for joining me this week. I am your host, Josh Cobb, and this is the weekly show for people in the business of residential sales and property management, where we interview real estate pros and industry experts from all across Australia and around the world, getting to know them a little more personally and the stories behind their success to help you take your career to another level. And I'm excited about this week's show. I'm speaking with Merv Barrett, the Managing Director of Real Estate Connected. Merv is going to share with us why some real estate websites succeed, but many fail. We'll discuss some of the latest tools available to help take your website to the next level and why your website should be the central point of all your marketing. But before we catch up with Merv, I have another discovery I'd like to share with you this week. So let's do that right now.
Today's show is brought to you by Business Depot, real estate specialists, accountants and business advisors. From startup to growth or succession, muscle up and raise the bar of your real estate business. Check them out at businessdepot.com.au.
Now, something that's become quite popular in recent years are cartoon animation videos. A lot of businesses outside of real estate are certainly using them in their marketing campaigns or on social media or to promote specific services in their business. And the common misconception is that they're quite expensive to create. Well, we found an app a little while ago that we've been using for quite some time that allows you to create your own animation videos and presentations and for very little money as well. And the app is called Powtoon, P-O-W-T-O-O-N. And it's a cloud-based app. And it's simply what you do, works very much like Microsoft PowerPoint. You just drag and drop certain objects or moving figures onto the screen and then create animations in between the pages that you've created. And then you can add a voiceover to your animation as well before you then export that video off to your computer, or you can upload that video straight up to YouTube and send that out across your social media channels. And it's just a really fun way of creating animation videos and presentations for your business. You can start a free account, but they have got paid accounts as well, where you start to get more templates, more figures that you can add to your presentations and things like that. It's a really fun little app. I encourage you to go and check that out at powtoon.com, spelled P-O-W-T-O-O-N.com. And they've got all sorts of tutorials and programs where you can learn how to use the app. Or if you've got someone in the business, one of your marketing team that would like to have a play with this, I certainly think it's well worth your time to have a look. And with that, let's transition over to this week's featured guest. Well, I'm excited about today's show. I'm speaking with Merv Barrett, the Managing Director of Real Estate Connected and the creator of Easy Property Listings, a set of real estate tools for real estate professionals using the WordPress platform. Merv's background in the real estate industry combined with a love of technology led him to trial and test most of the online marketing fads, where he painstakingly weeded out the ones that offered all the bells and whistles, yet showed no results from the ones that genuinely delivered what they promised. It was through this process that the formula behind Real Estate Connected was developed and sits in its current form today. Merv, I've given our listeners just a brief overview, but take a moment, tell us a little bit more about you personally, and then give us an overview of the business.
Thanks, Josh, for having me on the call and the podcast. I listed and sold houses personally for 11 years. And towards the end of my career, I looked into internet marketing and learned from one of my mentors. He was based in the US, and I learned as much as I could from him on how to build a targeted website that is not trying to be a generalist, but more of a specialist in an area. And it was that process that I learned about internet marketing, sort of got my first grasp on how to use the internet to your best advantage with online advertising and different mediums that you have available. From that, it sort of took me on a bit of a journey because I sort of had a bit of a passion. I've always been a bit of a nerd and really enjoyed the journey of learning how to get the most out of internet marketing. There's so many different tools available that it's far easier today to actually generate leads for your business using your online resources versus what it was when you have to prospect and do door knocking and telemarketing, those sorts of technologies or systems have changed dramatically with the age of the internet. I mean, when the iPhone came out, it's sort of everybody has an iPhone, everybody has the internet in their hand these days. So it's a matter of making sure that you have the right tools to target that. Through that, well, also through the process of Real Estate Connected, I found that actually building a real estate website was actually a hurdle. It was a massive hurdle. I really enjoyed learning the WordPress platform, which is great for building websites, but actually putting listings online was a major challenge. And from that, I developed Easy Property Listings, and I looked at it to build it from the perspective of a single agent, which I was when I thought about it, is how difficult it was. So I wanted to make it really easy for an individual agent or small team to build their own sites. And then it can scale up to an office or a portal, that sort of thing. But I wanted to make that process as easy as possible, and we've done it. And then we're building tools to further enhance what you can offer with dynamic appraisals, you know, advanced maps where you can show off 300-400 listings that you've sold on one map. And I thought, well, that'd be cool. Here's my history, one map, and it's quite an effective visual prospecting tool, especially showing off how good you are in an area, especially if you've sold a few hundred houses every year or over your career. So the technology was a hurdle, but we've solved that, and now it is, you know, you can pick a theme off WordPress, install Easy Property Listings, turn it on and start adding your listings, and then start promoting your listings through Facebook and different advertising platforms.
Well, I think it's a great move. I see a lot of agents who do try and do it all themselves, and they tend to what I mean by that is essentially they try to build their own website. They spend a lot of time you know, going through the WordPress platform, picking themes and shifting things around and making it look pretty. And essentially what they're doing is taking time away from what they're great at, which is building relationships and selling houses. So look, I congratulate you for removing yourself from the industry as an agent and focusing 100% on the product. And I think that's really great, because I see a lot of agents fall down in that area. They spend too much time in the tech space or the online space, and they don't, you know, they're removing time from other things. So, but let's kick things off pretty generally. What do you think are the three biggest problems with real estate websites today?
The biggest one is really the generalization versus specialization. You see, with internet marketing, you must specialize in order to attract more or increase your conversion rate. See, generalists try and have listings and sales and rentals and this, and when a visitor arrives, they're trying to tell the visitor, we do everything. And what happens is the visitor, it's not specific. So as soon as you're more specific and really say, hey, we specialize in selling property in this area or this sort of type of property, or we'd help families or we help professional couples, when those type of people land on your website, they're much more engaged because the content speaks directly to them. A lot of websites, they say, hey, we're good at this or we have this, but you need to understand that on the internet, you're actually speaking to one person, because it's one person who's reading your page. It's not a group. And it's such a mind shift to say, okay, hang on. You need to speak on the web very much as you would respond to someone in an email, where you're actually speaking to one particular person. You've got them in your head. You know their problems, because they got kids. They need to understand that you understand that the troubles with, you know, moving house or whether it's property managing or that sort of thing. So you need to be very specific with web marketing.
Now, if an agent was listening to us, Mervyn, and thinking, well, look, if I was to really focus my messaging on my website around one particular target audience, what I'm essentially doing is blocking out or the opportunity for, you know, other people in the local community to, or other potential sellers, buyers, investors or tenants to really engage with our website. What would you say to people thinking, well, look, if I focus on one segment, I'm really blocking out the rest?
What happens is that's the common misconception, is that you think you're going to miss out. But in reality, most of the websites, because they're trying to be generalist, it's very hard to actually write text, because you haven't got a targeted person in your mind. So you sort of end up with a page that's got a couple lines. But when you actually have the person's needs, wants, desires in your head, and you're actually writing to them, you actually capture a massive amount of people who fit that versus trying to get everybody and you end up speaking to no one. Mm. For example, like if you're selling properties on a coastal area and you're looking after the premium listings, they're all, you know, that can actually encompass quite a wide range of areas. You might be on a, you might specialize in one suburb right on the coast, and there's, you know, five or six suburbs adjacent to that. So you're actually talking to all those types of people, and it becomes very easy to suck them in. Or if you're in an inner suburb with lesser, you know, mid-range properties in the 500,000, 600,000, 700,000, there's a big, massive amount of those type of people where you might have a few premium properties in those areas, but they're actually the lower, not as common. Mm. So being specialist actually attracts more. And even if you are very specialist, you actually, the people who don't quite fit will still find your content more engaging because they might fit several of those points. Maybe they don't have kids, but they're a professional couple and they work in a certain, or they work in an area and they need to, someone to look after their problems. Mm. And that's what you're doing, is providing a solution to their biggest problem, which is helping to move or help them to manage their investment property.
What if we look at the layout side of things, Merv? If we were to look at the typical real estate website, and look, let's be honest, there's not many that are really will blow your socks off. They're all very much the same. I don't think that's, you know, the case for specifically one area of not even Australia, but overseas as well. But there are particular aspects of, you know, a great website in terms of the layout. What do you think contributes to a great layout for a real estate website?
That's the most difficult part, is most people focus on the look before they focus on what they're telling the person who's arriving. Images, that was actually my second point, look versus content. Mm. If you have a text-heavy website, your success will be thousands of times more successful than a pretty website. I've seen many, many ugly websites where their text is so engaging that their results are off the charts, you know, in to say the least. One example, which I was going to give you later, is Significant Homes. He's based in the US. I met him through my mentor a few years ago. And, you know, he has about 640,000 likes on Facebook, which is just outstanding. Yeah. But he specializes in architecturally significant homes. So he's even refined his niche, not only premium property, but even you have to have something really stunning. And now he lists property between 2 and 12 million. And late last year, he sold one for 60 million. Where he is in the US. But the fact is that when you're a specialist, and you know, everybody else is being a generalist and you're being a specialist, you're like a ray of sunshine and light to the person who's reading, because you understand this person's needs and wants and desires, and you can specifically answer their needs.
Mm. Something that I often compare for people when we look at, you know, if we're talking about the display of their website or the layout, Merv, is the difference between Google and Yahoo. And not a lot of people would even know that Yahoo actually has a search engine at yahoo.com or yahoo.com.au. Right. And I think if you look at the two, and why Google is so successful is just picture in your mind for a second, anyone listening, that you go onto Google and there is one search box, and yep, you tell Google what you want to find and you'll be returned a set of results. But you go to Yahoo and it looks like the inside of a JB Hi-Fi, right? There's signs shouting at you everywhere. There's all sorts of advertising and TV shows that are coming up on the screen. And it's actually quite difficult to find where to search or where the search bar is. And I think that's a really good example of the simplification. White space is definitely an advantage for any website. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. It pulls your eye to the content. And that is no doubt in your experience of helping people with landing pages, is it's the internet is made of words. Pictures are a bonus, but people go there to find an answer, and an answer is never found in a picture. It really is in, hey, here's what we can do for you. We understand your problems. I know you've got a house to sell. You've probably got a couple of kids running around, and you need to make sure that you've got the agent who's looking after you and can understand, because I've got kids and I know what it's like to move. Mm. And then you can sort of talk, and when you're, it's almost like talking to a friend. And that's the difference, is when you start focusing on what you say rather than how it looks, your success rate will explode.
Mm-hmm. What relationship, you mentioned social media there before, Merv, what relationship do you think social media should have with someone's website, and how can our listeners get the most out of both, do you think?
That's where I found a few years ago social media was a big focus with the real estate industry and a lot of trainers. Mm-hmm. And they always focused on, you know, building a likes and increasing your social media presence. But at the fundamental thing about social media, it's designed to drive traffic to your website. So a lot of people try and build a likes and that sort of thing, but your like page is never indexed the same way that a website is, and you haven't really got the control you want. You're with a website, you own it, you look after the content, you can choose where things go, but Facebook can make a change and everything changes and you have no control over what they do. But Facebook has grown, especially with their advertising platform, so much over the last year that you can now really specifically target people in different areas, specifically target certain types of people, you know, hey, newlyweds, if you're in a lower tier area or looking for first-time buyers or first-time sellers, you can really start targeting people who've just been married or they're engaged or they've had kids recently, because the targeting is just outstanding. Mm. And it'll really allows you to, with a website, allows you to drive to different pages. So you could set up three or four different landing pages, one that targets each particular type of demographic, and pull those people in. And that's the other answer before, when you're asking about the generalization versus specialization. Mm. Your whole website might be very specialized, but that's not, doesn't stop you from having multiple pages that are slightly different. And then you can use those to attract other types of visitors without missing out. Mm. But the whole, as long as when you're writing something, you have someone's needs, wants, desires in your head versus, you know, who do I talk to? And oftentimes, I remember when I was listing and selling, is I found it very difficult to build a newsletter, because what do you say? Mm. But when you have that person's needs, wants, and desires in your mind clearly, like, you know, they have kids, they're this sort of demographic, it makes it very easy to answer their troubles.
Yeah, look, I completely agree, and I think it's something that a lot of people get wrong as well, Merv. And I'm keen to get your thoughts on this. Someone in this space developing websites is that social media is viewed by a lot of people, not just in real estate, but every industry and every niche, that social media is often treated as a second website. When in fact, as you mentioned, it's not a platform that you have any control over, and Facebook could shut down tomorrow. And if you've built up 20,000, 30,000 likes, that could all be gone tomorrow, and you have right. No say over that. But as you say, your website is a platform that you 100% own and can control. And I think social media has the ability to act as a vacuum to suck people back into your website, onto that platform. And really the strategy is how do you do that? And look, we certainly work with a lot of businesses in this space, Merv, but what about you? What are your thoughts on how you can use social media to amplify your content and bring people back to your website?
Well, a simple one is, you know, what's your house worth? Set up an ad on Facebook. We do these regularly and serve it to people in the area you're looking for. So you can set up five or six different suburbs. When they click on that ad, they get directed to a page on your website that carries on with the introduction of, hey, find out what your house is worth. And then there's a form. Now, the important thing is capturing an email. As good as likes are, the best capture or lead capture is an email address, where it gives you the right to continually market to those people over a period of time. And as long as your newsletters are full of valuable content, they will read it. You know, they may not read every single one, but they'll keep it in their inbox because, oh, that was interesting. And they get used to the fact that, oh, you've sent me some good information. Mm. In the beginning, I used to do just listed, just solds, but they're very you get a very high unsubscribe rate because you're not always listing properties in an area that's specific to the person you met in that area. But if you're providing them an answer, hey, here's how to get a good deal on a mortgage. I've actually got a good finance relationship with my finance broker. If you give me fill in this form, I'll pass the details on, and you can actually start to generate revenue from other areas, even if you didn't list or sell this property directly. So it really gives you a lot of touch points, and you can automate each of the steps, which means, you know, your website is your 24/7 salesperson talking about you. Mm. We always go to, you know, I used to use that for sale signs with marketing campaigns, is, hey, why wouldn't you have a for sale sign? It's the 24-hour salesperson trying to promote your property. Mm. Well, your website is your 24/7 system designed to promote you and to educate clients and tell them what you do. And they can start to really build a relationship with you just by reading your content. And then they figure out that, hey, they naturally come to the conclusion that this guy knows what he's talking about, or this girl knows what she's talking about, and I should really give them a call. Mm. And that's where your email newsletter system or your database comes into play, is that you're constantly emailing these people, whether it's weekly or monthly, and letting them know what's going on in the market. And, you know, hey, the interest rates have just gone down again, or hey, here's a tip on how to get your house ready. And these people will keep your email because each email is valuable, and it's actually got content that you've constantly answering. Another thing that people do is, I'm guilty of it myself. You get an email from someone, they ask you a question, and you beam off the answer, and you probably spend, you know, half an hour writing out a good answer. And that's a perfect post for your website, because then everybody can read it. You see, with an email, it's just landing in, it's in your inbox and in their inbox. Yet if you posted that as a blog post on your website, it's what's called evergreen content. So the more of evergreen content you have, the more chance of you being found when people are searching for a solution to their problem.
No, I think it's really smart, Mervyn, and everything you're saying, the angels are singing around me here. We're on the same page, and it's certainly something that we educate our clients on very much so, and using social media as an amplification for your content. And if you look at, like you said, the targeting that you can do in the back end of Facebook, if we focus on that platform specifically, the difference between that and Google pay-per-click, or PPC as some people will know it, is if you're advertising on Google, you're basically waiting for someone to come looking for an answer to something. Whereas if you serve an ad up on Facebook to people that it is relevant to, not just blanket marketing everyone, but actually using the targeting inside Facebook to target a piece of content specifically at someone that you know for a fact is in that mindset of either selling their home, having their property managed, finding a property to rent, or finding a property to buy, then you have the ability to then capture their attention when they're really not looking for the answer, but you know for a fact that they are interested in that content. So it's certainly it's a new world out there. And I was just talking to someone just before the call today with yourself, Merv, from a big franchise group down in Victoria, and they're finding that the Google ad space is very, very crowded, and what worked for them 5 years ago is not working for them anymore. And they're looking at Facebook as a platform where it's a little less crowded and very few people are doing it correctly. And if we have a look at Google, Merv, if I shift to today and some of the changes they're making to their algorithm, they've made it, obviously, the recent change to make basically punish websites that aren't mobile friendly. Can you explain for our listeners, Merv, why it's so important to have a mobile friendly website in 2015 and the steps they should consider if they're thinking about a complete redesign?
Absolutely. I mean, when you're looking at mobile effectiveness or the saturation of mobile, everybody has an iPhone or an internet-connected device like a Samsung or an Android phone. They're just so much more prevalent today than they were even 5 years ago. And Google has put such a big focus on the mobile responsive sites or making sure that it is mobile optimized. So these days, if you don't have one, they are going to penalize you, and those penalizations are going to start since they've just released it last or a few weeks ago. But it's actually not too difficult these days to convert a website to a mobile responsive, even if you have an old website that isn't built on a WordPress platform. The fact is, you still have all that content. So that content is still there. It's just a matter of pulling it into a site that is more mobile responsive. And the way that the themes these days are used, especially with WordPress, is they mostly are all mobile responsive. And it doesn't take much to convert one. It might be a bit of an investment to get started to swap over, but thankfully your content is really the showcase. And that's the thing with mobile responsive and how much more important content is. You have a tiny little screen, and their mobile responsive sites are really designed to showcase the content on the page is what people are looking for, an answer.
Mm-hmm. Well, just having a look at some analytics this morning, Merv, just straight to your point, is one particular client of ours, they're 70.37. I've just got it in front of me here. 70.37% of their website visitors are from mobile devices over the last month. So I think, a lot of people, they're using it a lot more. And I think as we shift into this this world of everything becoming mobile, I think Google have really just given us a little kick to basically to increase the user experience on our websites. But how can companies go about having a look at their website on Google to see if it is mobile friendly? Are there tools available that you can educate our audience on, Murph?
There are tools available. I have not dived straight into them yet. The algorithm change has come through, but because I've been designing every website since we've started 4 years ago, is responsive. It was responsive from back then. So what we're doing now is you just need to look at your website. That's probably the first step. But what Google's trying to focus on is making it finger compatible. So a lot of the parts where you might have little small buttons, it's a matter of even if you increase those buttons in the height and that sort of thing, so they're more finger compatible for iPhones, they can already make a difference in make smaller changes versus having to go full responsive immediately. The full effects of that will come down over the next few months and will affect ranks for sites that haven't spent the time to upgrade their site or actually just make some minor tweaks to make the user interface more finger friendly.
Mm. Can you give our listeners some examples of some websites that you've seen or marketing initiatives involving real estate professionals that they're doing things right, Murph? And why are they doing well in your opinion?
Well, one of my first clients is Investors Hedge, and they focus on property management here over in Perth. And what we took is we started helping him with marketing about 3 years ago, and we've focused solely on content. The site design has always been a secondary thing to the content, and we haven't changed it much because if it's working, don't change it, because why would you? Don't fix it if it's not broken. But we're now generating between over 30 leads a month for property management every single month, and that's gained the level of that is gained by the amount of leads they can actually handle. So we could do more, which requires just turning up the advertising, and that's the power. Once we swap to Google advertising, which is a very expensive way, but now we're spread between Facebook for other avenues in pulling in more leads, it's just if you need more business, you just turn up your advertising versus in the past where you'd have to focus on offline marketing, you have to wait for the paper to get delivered, then you have to spend several thousand on a decent size ad. You can effectively in 10 minutes go and log into your Google account, double your ad rate for the day and increase your leads. Literally in a few minutes or in a few hours. That's the difference. Is the old ways of prospecting are, they're still effective in some way, but the online ones are just so much cheaper and they're instant gratification. You can just turn them up. Or if you have too much business, you turn it down. It's very, very easy to succeed online as a real estate agent, provided you have a couple key things in place, which is an advertising medium such as Google or Facebook or a bit of both, having a landing page which explains the benefits to that person to deal with you or to get an appraisal or to talk about how you solve their property management problem, and then an email marketing system to communicate with those. We found that the property management and sales is very different. The difference is property management is almost an instantaneous gratification. If you solve my problem now, I'll give you the business today. But with listings and with real estate sales, there's a lot more variables involved. So you need to really focus on a long-term marketing campaign, 60 days, where you send out sort of drip campaigns via email to keep the people informed because they're going to visit a few home opens. You've met someone at a home open this weekend for the first time, you put them on your newsletter list, and they may not actually sell for 3 to 6 months, even though they say, yeah, we're in a hurry, but they don't find the right house. We all know the thing. Something comes up, they decide not to sell right now, but then they decide to sell 2 or 3 months later. But with property management, it's very much instantaneous. So businesses that focus on online with property management are very successful because people wanted a solution. They're sick of their current property manager for whatever reason, and they want a solution. And if you provide what your solution is in front of them and don't try and hide it and give them all the best stuff later, give them everything up front, explain the whole process of what you do for them, and they'll enter their name in the box and you'll be having an appointment in the afternoon.
Something I've found, Merv, and I'm keen to get your thoughts on this as someone I know has spent some time in the US as well and knows a fair bit about the US real estate market. Something I've found quite interesting and a difference between Australia and the US is the software developers and technology providers over in the US have very much an open door policy. If they create a piece of software, they're already thinking, look, how can I get it to talk to, you know, my accounting software or my e-commerce solution or my email marketing solution? And they don't try and build all of those platforms themselves, whereas I find that to be the case here in Australia, where a lot of the technology providers are building their own proprietary software that basically does everything. So you might have a website developer that also has a CRM provider, a CRM product, or an email marketing solution, and all these other bits and pieces that just bolt in. And what I find in the US is, like with that open door policy, it allows a lot more flexibility for people to pivot their websites to offer other services and other marketing solutions. And particularly with the WordPress platform, I found that our website's built on WordPress and we develop on WordPress ourselves. But is that why you chose the WordPress platform? And essentially, what are some of the differences you've seen between how the US work and how they work over here with some of the technology solutions?
You're exactly right there, Josh, is I find that, yes, everybody here is very close, but there are so many other systems that are specific. For example, one that we use is called MailChimp, and they do is email marketing, and they have what's called an API, which allows their system to talk to hundreds of other different systems, or you can pass your information from your website directly into your MailChimp database and automatically serve out emails. And that's just one example. It's actually better to have multiple databases than it is to have one that does everything. I made the big mistake many years ago of importing the whole, you know, suburb into my database. And as soon as you do that, it's old. The next day, it's old because people move and it's very difficult to maintain. So what I found was more successful is to have your general database, such as your MailChimp email marketing, which you put absolutely everybody into. That can have thousands of people in there. There's no problem, provided you have an actual system in place to send out a newsletter on a regular basis to keep in touch with people. And then you can have your more specialized CRM, which, you know, you might have their actual address in there, and you might keep your notes about when you speak to them. It allows you to have a very high quality, smaller database that you're constantly keeping in touch with people. And then you have your more general one, which just sort of blankets everybody, with still some specifics. But the difficulty is a lot of CRMs are very closed. So you have to almost build a specific module, or even a lot of the CRMs don't even accept a connection at all. They are changing now, but in the US, that's most of them are built day one with the thought of, okay, how do I allow this data to get passed around? And that just makes it easier for the customer to use anything they want or a mixture of both.
And why did you decide to go with the WordPress platform in particular, Merv? I know you do a lot of work on that CMS. Is there a reason why you chose WordPress over anything else?
There was a few available. There's other technologies available out there, but WordPress was the one that was focused on content, and it was easy. Mm. That what I really liked was, if you don't know code and you don't know anything, WordPress is fantastic, because what it does is gets out of your way. If you want to add a new piece of text, you just add a new post, type your text in, your title, press save, and you're finished. So it really gets out of the way. And WordPress can become your own CRM. Is, you know, if you start taking your website as the core center of your business and start focusing on that, mostly just focusing on putting content in there, it can really drive your business. I mentioned before about evergreen content. Every time you send out an email to someone with an answer, think about how you could put that on your website. You know, it might be, oh, tell me about the finance. What's the finance process? Or, you know, what's a subject to sale offer? Those types of people search for that all the time. I've got thousands of Google searches that you can say, hey, what's a subject to sale? And if people are searching for that and you're, say, in Sydney and they're in Sydney, Google will pick up on that. Oh, wow, this is the best website to serve because this person is actually the same geographic area versus serving someone who's answered that question over in Perth. Mm. Google is very sophisticated with their algorithm, and they choose geographic locations as well as what the keywords serve plus the answer. So if you have just a one line, if subject cell means this, it's not going to be served as highly as where if you take the time to write a good article about what you do or about what that answer is, you're going to get found.
Mm-hmm. Something one of our clients is doing in particular, we've got a bunch of clients that are actually doing this, but a great strategy that we adopt ourselves and we educate our clients on is using At that point in time where someone subscribes to your newsletter or e-marketing or podcast or whatever it may be, asking them the question right at that point in time, what is one thing that you'd like to know more about in the local community, or one thing that you find interesting or amazing about living in, you know, wherever it may be? And at that point in time, as soon as you've got their attention, they've subscribed to your email or whatever it may be, it's such a great opportunity to ask that question, because that then gives you the opportunity to create content around the issues and the topics that people actually care about. And it's certainly, like I said, it's something we do when someone signs up to be a subscriber for the podcast. We ask that question, and then that dictates every blog article that we write from then on in. From a real estate, it works in any industry, and our clients are seeing amazing results, and they're not thinking anymore, what should we write on our blog or what should we put on social media? They're asking their audience in really an easy way, and that is just seeing amazing results. Are there any other tricks or traps that you've got, you know, that might sort of be along those lines, Merv?
No, that's pretty much the same system we use. Yeah. Is to get, you know, let your audience help you, and they're willing to help because they've got answers, and they've got questions and they need answers. And just take note of what people ask you. You know, when you're at a home open and someone's saying, "Hey, what does this mean?" Take note of these questions, because everybody, they're not the only person answering it or asking that question. And the more questions you can answer on your website, it's just, that's what people will do. They might not ask you directly, but they'll be sitting there on a computer with a glass of wine at 9 o'clock at night and looking for an answer or an answer to their problem. And the more of those questions you can answer, the better your site will be, the deeper it will be. I mean, when you mentioned Google before with mobile, I mean, Google really doesn't pay attention to websites with less than 300 pages of content. So you need to really try and get your site as full of good content as you can, and just put a process in place where, you know, spend half an hour every day and think, okay, what can I do to answer someone's problem? And thankfully, you're already getting lots of emails, and you're already building up a system around asking for questions or finding out what people's needs are.
Mm. Well, Merv, thanks so much for your input so far. We're about to hit the fast five, where I'll ask you five quick questions and get you to come back with five quick answers. But before we do, we're going to hear our fast fact of the week. This week's fast fact comes from our real estate industry social media survey. It found that 75% of real estate professionals say that social media has contributed to increased brand exposure. But only 30% believe that social media has actually contributed to new business. I think it's an important reminder to ask yourself what business outcomes you are achieving as a result of all your time on social media, and if you are actually getting a return on that investment. I'm keen to hear what's working for you. Drop me a line via our website, Facebook, or Twitter. Well, Merv, we've reached one of my favourite parts of the show, where I'll ask you five quick questions and get you to come back with five quick answers. Are you ready?
Yep.
Name one person who has been an inspiration to you throughout your career and why.
Actually, one person has been Mark McLeod. He's now the Ray White COO, and I was very much focused on auctions, and auctions were pretty much unheard of here in Perth, and my success rate was probably about zero. After spending about 2 years with Mark McLeod, my success rate was 46% under the hammer, and he was an inspiration because it made me look at things in a different perspective and focus more on the process and the context of what we were trying to achieve versus scripts and dialogue. I found scripts and dialogues only take you so far, but if you understand the actual context or the process, you can actually explain any answer offer any answer to anybody who asks, especially with the auctions, which were difficult to get people to do. But when you explain it in such a clear way that, hey, what we're doing is just getting a whole pile of people excited about your property, and then guess what? We're going to have on Saturday, we're going to tell them all to come along, stick up their hand and tell me shout out how much they want to pay. People were much more responsive to going with an auction, and I can thank Mark McLeod for that.
Well, I think Mark was mentioned on a couple of shows ago by one of our guests. I think it might have been Ian Campbell, actually. He mentioned Mark as a mentor of his as well. So I think if anyone wants to have a look at what Mark's doing, maybe go and check out the Ray White website. Merv, what is your favorite thing in the world to do when you're not at the office?
I usually like to travel. That's getting on a plane and heading out to somewhere new and exploring and finding out new things to do and filling my life with as many unique experiences as I can is my most favorite thing to do. The other most favorite is just taking the dog for a walk and getting outside, really, is here in Perth. It's a beautiful city to be in. It's always sunny, and it's even when it's winter, it's still sunny and beautiful. So, but that's travel's my number one thing.
Merv, what is your favorite business book that you've ever read and why?
I really enjoyed The Millionaire Real Estate Agent by Gary Keller. When I learned about it was about building a team around your sales business or focusing more on your real estate business listing career, more of taking a business focus. And today with his focus in the book was getting assistants to do things. And most of those were on-site assistants. But with the internet today, you can use what are called virtual assistants and build multiple team members for very, very effectively that can handle specific parts of your business, like manage your listings or manage your marketing or manage your prospecting. And that is it's the roadmap to success for a real estate agent.
Merv, what is your favorite technology or online resource that you use daily to help you run a better business?
I use a simple product called Basecamp. Mm. It just allows you to create tasks lists and keep yourself on track. And I used to use that even when I was listing and selling, is to create a marketing campaign. Here, Mr. Vendor, this is what we're going to do. Here's all our 50, 60 points that we're going to step through in your process. We can sign you up so you can actually get notifications once these bits are done. And what you can do is create a template before you even start. So it's all pre-ready to go. Just launch a new listing, send it off, and then just tick through the items as you get to them, booking home opens, that sort of stuff, and clients loved it.
Yeah, love Basecamp. Great, great suggestion. Merv, what is the best real estate website that you've ever seen?
That's a tough one. There are lots of great websites. I'm going to bring it back to Significant Homes. Just what he's done. I mean, he's so specific in exactly on how his site speaks to that target market, and the results are outstanding because he's just hyper specific. And it's crazy how you'd think that he'd lose out on business, but no, everybody who has a beautiful house or an architecturally designed home is drawn to his website.
Merv, I have one last question for you to leave our listeners with some motivation for the week ahead. What's your favorite success quote, and how do you think people in real estate can relate to it?
The internet is here. Use it to feed your business.
I love that. Who can you attribute that to?
I think I made it up.
I love it. No, you'll have to patent that one. That's fantastic. Well, listeners, you can find all of the great resources that Merv has shared with us today, along with all of the show notes, by visiting steps.com.au/Merv Barrett, and Barrett spelt B-A-R-R-E-T-T. I hope I've got that right, Merv.
Yep, that's perfect.
Fantastic. Well, on behalf of our listeners, I'd like to thank you for your time, knowledge, and advice today. How can people get in touch with you or find out more about you and your company?
Thanks, Josh. It's been a great to be on the podcast. Please, people can visit either realestateconnected.com.au or find out about easypropertylistings.com.au on either of those two websites. Easy Property Listings actually starts from free. So if you have a WordPress website, activate it. And we have an active support form. So if you ever have any troubles with it, just jump over to the form, ask a question, and we're happy to help.
Merv, thanks so much.
Thanks, Josh. Take care.
Well, that's it for this week. Thank you so much for joining me. If you do enjoy the Real Estate Pros podcast, we love reviews to help us get found. So please head over to iTunes and let us know how the show has helped you. And whether you did or you didn't enjoy today's show, we'd love to hear from you about how we can improve. Because at the end of the day, the show has all started to help you, the Real Estate Pro. I hope you have a great week ahead, and I look forward to having you join us again next week. Bye for now.